Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey Scott, how are you?
Doing fantastic, my friend. We're going to hopefully have an interesting conversation today. It's one that we have enjoyed having multiple times. We've had it inside of our continuity group. You and I have had it personally, mm-hmm. with friends, with family, sometimes even with coworkers. We deem it the marriage merge. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a little different approach to it today and hopefully give you some action steps or some perspective around the long-term application of a fasting lifestyle and what that looks like. So I think we're going to do a good job as always, but you know, maybe we're a little bit biased here, but it's going to be a fun conversation regardless. So if you are new to the podcast, you can go back to episode 100, take a listen. It's kind of like the episode 100 reset. We highlight some of the episodes that had the greatest response and impact that we've heard from you guys, the listeners. And mm-hmm. if you haven't heard our story, you can go back all the way to episode 1. Give us a little bit of grace in us telling our stories and how we ended up here and how we ended up, having the challenges and the resources. And that leads me to heading over to the website, thefastingforlife.com, www.thefastingforlife.com. You can download the Fast Start Guide, which is a free PDF with 6 steps to put one meal a day fasting into your day-to-day life. And also the insulin assessment, which is a little bit more of an advanced tool in giving you some subjective insight into whether or not you have the underlying cause of, you know, blood sugar related issues, weight loss resistance, et cetera, which is the insulin component of weight loss. So head on over there, check it out. All right, Tommy. So marriage merge, man, this is going to be a fun one because I'm going to share a couple of personal stories here of my own life, a couple of conversations mm-hmm. you've had over the years. And this all came from a question that came in from one of the listeners. So I think we should start there. And she said, hello, this is from Blair. Hello, love your podcast. I have a psychological question. So I'm just going to dump this in your lap, Tommy, give you the mic and then let you monologue here with your background. So I am an experienced extended faster and have no problem doing that. My boyfriend, both in our 60s, is largely accepting, but he's a large man, 6'2", maybe 45 pounds over, but not fat. I would like to mm-hmm. be that. I was never 45 pounds over and not fat. extremely focused on food, shopping, cooking, and eating meat and exotic international ingredients. He wants mm-hmm. to know if blank fill in the blank will be good for dinner that night. How can I draw boundaries so the whole evening doesn't end up with me watching him prepare and eat something I have no room or interest for? Mm-hmm. I'm a fairly slight and small woman, and although an adventurous eater, I don't consume much.
Wow. All right. So,
many layers.
Yeah. So the juxtaposition here is almost like he's a foodie and she's a fastie. So we have we have an inherent, conflict of interest here going on sometimes, and probably some tension from time to time, or maybe a little frustration, a little bit of like, man, what's he going to come up with next? I'm trying to do an extended fast. Maybe I'm trying to hit 30 hours or 40 hours or maybe even longer. And then he has a 5-course sampling planned that he's into and has all the ingredients out. On the kitchen counter here. And so what to do next, right?
So let's say he's 6'2", 200 pounds would be, a good place to probably be if he's fit, right? So let's mm-hmm. say he's 250. A 6'2", mm-hmm. 250 is not going to be a sampling, okay? I used to be 250, 260 back in my powerlifting days at 5'10". Yeah. So, looking like a strong man in the off season with a big old belly, but the big neck and the big tight sleeves and, nothing ever fit.
Right.
So I just want to start there. Like, it's not going to be a sampling. This is an experience. This is going to be, I put the brisket on the smoker. I was up all night and I'm going to crush some food. That's the feeling that I'm getting.
Yeah.
From it. And that's great. We have some foodies in our social circle and in our family. And I am the complete opposite. I am not a foodie. I land in the fasty camp where it's like, I'm going to put a couple of meals that I look forward to. My wife and I are going to talk about what we're having on the menu for the week and the meals we're going to prep and the shopping and all that. And I'm good. I don't, maybe an anniversary dinner, you know, a special restaurant every now and then. Yeah. So I'm definitely in the fasty camp, right? But the marriage merge comes to and lands on our feet in a bunch of different ways. We get this question a lot. You know, we had a truck driver once who was like, I'm on board, I'm changing my lifestyle, but my wife is still, or might have been vice versa, actually. I don't remember. But like, how do I tell her that this is something she needs to do? And I was like, well, first of all, you don't do that.
Right.
I was like, what about just playing the podcast while you guys are in the car together? You know, something that brings in a third party authority. So I love the concept of the marriage merge, that there has to be a merging of values and goals. And I think that's probably where the first breakdown comes from, because I know if I went back into my past when I was growing up and we went to my meme's house, which is my French for grandma, meme.
Yeah.
I'm probably pronouncing it horribly with a French accent. I know zero French, even though I'm half French, French Canadian, I guess, or Canadian French, never really know. But if I ever said, no, meme, I'm good, I don't need a second portion. Oh, you're a growing boy. Here. And then there's your plate. Or if I said no to the chocolate cream pie,
oh man,
I want a small piece and I'd get half the pie. I'm like, no. So I know there's this fear of upsetting the individual, rejection, all of that stuff that comes around and comes from the cultural aspect of food in my situation. So it really should start with an alignment of values and goals and a conversation of what the week could look like. And when these special, you said the word, experiences can happen.
Yeah. And do you think that it would be helpful if they kind of came to the same page about, like, I wonder if a lot of planning is going into this beforehand, you know, like at the beginning.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. I mean, so I wonder how often these experiences are happening. Like, is this every single night or is it, you know, once or twice a week or like this must be coming up often enough for her to feel this level of like uncertainty or tension, like in the relationship.
Yeah. And that was her question. How can I draw boundaries, right? How can I draw boundaries? Well, that starts with aligning values and goals, right? Having some healthy conflict of, I know that you love this. I want to be a part of it with you. I don't need a full portion. Let's make this more of like one of those cooking shows or maybe fine dining restaurants where you go in and you get the big plate that looks all fancy. And then in the middle is like one or two little bites of food.
Little bites,
right? Because of the richness and the fullness of the food. So the juxtaposition here is obviously in the goals, right? But there's also the fact that she's fairly slight and small and likes to fast and doesn't really consume much. So we're kind of at polar opposites here, right? Yeah. So that's why I love the foodie versus fasty. So how do you merge in the middle? Really, I think we can start reverse engineering this back from the conversation of what maintenance, a fasting maintenance or a fasting lifestyle should look like when you're not in a fat loss phase. Because it sounds like she's probably either close to maintenance or bouncing around there somewhere where this is, might be throwing, feeling like she has to give up the thing that got her the results, right?
Yeah. Yeah. As far as like the extended fast, she said, I'm an experienced extended faster, right?
Right.
And, you know, extended fasting can be a very powerful tool, but when it's our main tool that we use to get our fat loss results, then it can be hard to let go of too. And we've actually seen it, you know, be the reason why some people bounce back and forth around maintenance without really getting to their end goal, or it taking a lot longer to get to their end goal, because instead of being really, really intentional, when I sit down and break my fast, I'm allowing more volatility to come in and feeling like I need to undo that by using extended fasting. And so I'm seeing these bigger swings, bigger ups and downs on the scale. Even if it is trending downward, it can take a lot longer to do that. And so I could see that being a real issue in a household, in a situation, in a relationship like this as well.
Yeah. And so beginning with the end in mind and looking at what the maintenance lifestyle should look like, this is a conversation we have often during the challenges and in our continuity group and via email and messages and you know, questions that we receive is, okay, what does it look like? So I'm fasting, then I eat. So what does that look like? So it's like, there's two parts to the equation. You fast and then you eat, right? So there's the fasting and the feeding, so to speak.
The yin and yang. So,
yeah, exactly. Right. So like you just highlighted one of the things that people sometimes struggle with, which is that connection to food, the things that stress us out, the sleep, the things that are pushing us to go back to the habits that got us into the overweight situation or the metabolically unhealthy situation or the I'm on medication and don't want to be. And my doctor says I need to lose weight, or maybe you're having some blood sugar issues at this point.
Yeah.
So the just swinging back and forth with this volatility is not what we want. So maintenance really should look like long-term nourishment, long-term health, strength, longevity, good sleep, because we know that that's so important, especially for insulin resistance and hormone balancing and, you know, the hormones that control hunger,
yeah,
right? You know, leptin, all of those different things, stress. So looking at this overall healthy end goal of what maintenance should look like, you should be having less volatility in your fasting windows. You shouldn't have to do a 72-hour fast every week.
Yeah.
Fasting is a tool that got you there. So that's why I really like the concept or the underlying tone here, maybe the reading between the lines a little bit, that it seems like that may be a sticking point where she doesn't feel she has the confidence to give that up yet while still wanting to connect with her boyfriend and have these experiences.
Yeah, because I know a lot of folks who use, you know, dinner as their main maintenance meal, and it's more of an extended dinner. So it feels very similar to what she's kind of describing here, where it might be, you know, it might be a 1 hour or a 2 hour, it could even be a little longer, but, you know, an hour or two worth of kind of an experience. You know, I know some busy professionals who, you know, take the opportunity, you know, most nights to, you know, to have dinner out, and it's a social thing, but it's also a good way for them to maintain their health and their weight. They enjoy the foods. They are in control of their health metrics. They feel great. They like the number on the scale, and they're maintaining those results long-term. And I think that could work in, you know, well for a maintenance plan here where she kind of looks at it more like an extended, you know, one meal a day to actually maintain those results. So it might be the fact that she still feels like there's a little bit more weight to lose, but doesn't feel in control of getting from, you know, that maybe she's 90% of the way there, getting that last 10% and then being able to maintain that long-term. So I think just a little switch there and she would have a solid plan that she can be confident about. And then that would merge really well into what her boyfriend's priorities are as well.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that it's not breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? That are these experiences, right?
Yeah.
Because if they are, then we've got another issue, right?
True, it's okay. True,
well,
true, good point.
maybe we should. Yeah. I don't need the, you know, the exotic breakfast. Let's focus on the dinner. And this reminds me of when my wife and I were uncovering, you know, the issues that I was having and all the testing that I did and the tracking and all the hiring the nutritionist and the functional medicine and me being a provider and running the blood work and looking for third party help and being like, okay, what am I missing? You know, my wife and I are vastly different.
Yeah.
She eats typically 4 to 5 meals a day. She has zero visceral fat. She has the highest level of health you can get when it comes to life insurance qualifications, preferred plus extra miles, first class.
All right.
You get the glass of champagne when you sit down and they get the feet warm or whatever, you know, like she's way like
royalty.
She's royalty. She's worked really hard at it and her body responds really well to a more balanced energy source. So between the three macros, carbs, protein and fat. So for her to get down as lean as she has and competed and ran the marathons and all that different things that she's done over the years, we are taking two completely different paths to get there, but we both went to see this person in Houston. I've told the story before, so I won't redo it here, but ended up, you know, going through like 6 to 8 weeks and she could see that I was struggling and I wasn't getting any better.
Right.
And we had been doing the same schedule, the same plan. And we just sat down and we're like, well, this isn't working for me. So now if we compare that to the fasty lifestyle, right, compared to the foodie, because I was doing 5 meals a day, I was doing the, you know, the specific breakdowns, the weighing, the macros,
right?
The very specific heart rate based workouts where it was like wearing a heart rate monitor on my, around my chest, like making sure that I wasn't getting into this range that would not allow me to burn some of the fat, et cetera, all of this stuff. Right. So coming in now to look at where we're at now in terms of how we both, you know, live and have results and have success. The conversation is now much simpler. We have a calendar on our fridge and we talk for 30 minutes on Saturday morning, sometimes Sunday night, if we don't get to it Saturday morning. And it's okay. I know you don't eat Wednesday night because in our house, breakfast is Wednesday nights.
Right.
So my wife's in the clinic late. The kids, we make homemade waffles, homemade pancakes. Sometimes you just do bacon, eggs, and sausage, like whatever. It's breakfast for dinner.
Yeah.
Not my thing. So I just don't eat dinner on Wednesday nights unless there's a special. I'm like, nope, not going to do it. So then at the beginning, she's like, all right, this is what we're going to eat this week. When are you eating this week? When are your meals? We have a date night. We have priorities, like a non-negotiable, like we talk about, Tommy, where it's like, you look at the schedule, you put in your non-negotiables. So my encouragement would be for Blair would be, where are your non-negotiables? You want the connection. You want the merge of values. You can both live your lives differently in terms of how you get results and how you have a healthy relationship and long-term health. But putting in the non-negotiables, putting in the planned experiences so you still have that connection, but then you don't have the potential, you know, overstepping a boundary, feeling guilty, hating to say no, not wanting to like overeat for you and your lifestyle. So I just like the idea of intentionally putting those non-negotiables in and then really focusing on the experience of, you know, him being so good at what he does, which is creating this food and that experience.
Yeah. And, those non-negotiables, those are a real game changer. And I know a lot of folks don't necessarily practice non-negotiables or communicating what those are. Like, here are my top priorities. I've decided what they are for myself. That's step one. You have to decide what they are for you. Then step two would be communicating them, you know, with the people who are important to you in your household or your social circle so that they can understand. And, you know, they will almost always respect those if you communicate them, but you can't expect them to just read your mind and to understand what they are. But if you don't decide what they are and you don't communicate them, then you've put yourself into a situation where you're likely to feel like you need to say no, but you can't, or you don't want to hurt that person's feelings. And so now all of a sudden you're feeling like their priorities just became higher than yours, and you have multiple situations, and they start adding up to those feelings of frustration and like, I can't really make headway on what's important to me. And that becomes, you know, can be a point of resentment right there. So a little bit of deciding for yourself and a little bit of communication of what those important goals are, kind of insulates you from that situation. And now all of a sudden, not only are you on the right track, but now you have a spouse that's supportive as well, because they understand what's important to you. And now you can really start moving powerfully forward.
Yeah. And this is, you know, one of the cool things about the conversations that we get to have and the conversations that you and I have. I mean, we talk about fasting pretty much all the time. It's no different than, and any CrossFitters out there, I did it for years, did the open 4 years in a row. I know there was a big change with the gentleman who's been leading it for 15 years. He's been replaced. I know there's been a lot of change in how they do things. So do not take this as a slight. My wife is still a CrossFitter, even in pregnancy. She's modifying, she's working out, et cetera.
Yeah.
Wow. Big CrossFit supporters, took care of some athletes, went to the CrossFit games 1 year, was in the athlete tent, like taking care of the team that came from Katie. Shout out to, I think that was circa 2014. So shout out to CrossFit Katie here. But if you've ever met a CrossFitter, they talk a lot about CrossFit.
Right.
Right. Like there's a meme out there that's going around. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like fasting. The first two rules of fasting when you start are don't talk about fasting.
Yeah.
So you have to have this alignment or this conversation. We call it healthy conflict between my wife and I. Healthy conflict of, okay, yeah, no, this is fine. Let's like work through this. Let's talk about it. We, you know, let's get some alignment here.
Yeah.
And I'm very logical. She's very emotional. So you can imagine not in a bad way, but she She communicates with her emotion. I communicate with logic, right? So right, I don't know if anybody out there is relating to this, probably, but don't raise your hand or look at your significant other if you're driving in the car right now. Don't do it. I'm right, warning
just,
you.
Just keep looking straight ahead.
Keep looking straight ahead, right? Just look at the red light. So
right.
My point of bringing that up is at some point, you know, your social circles, your relationships, your people that are in your inner circle that you interact with need to know your goals. Because if you are a, you know, someone who's trying to qualify for the CrossFit Games and you're out, you know, sabotaging all the hard work that you're doing in the gym, I would expect my buddy to look at me and be like, hey, dude, like, what are you doing? You know, like maybe we won't, you know, maybe we don't have to have the big, you know, big celebration this weekend, or like there just needs to be that alignment. So the first two rules of fasting are don't talk about fasting. In this situation, you really need to talk about fasting. You need to sit down and say, this is something I enjoy. This is something I love doing. And I want to make sure that we're on the same page and that we continue to grow together in our relationship before, you know, if she reached out with this question, I'm sure, like you said, Tommy, at some point, there's been multiple points of that tension or just that awkwardness that comes up. Hey, y'all, wanted to take a second and tell you just an incredible story about an amazing company that we've come across recently. And now they are a sponsor of our show. It's airdoctorpro.com. You can head to the website, use a promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off. But most importantly, my little guy, my two-year-old, has not slept consistently through the night since he was born. We have tried everything you can imagine. He is our third child, and we're just like, what is happening? So we have gone to great lengths, time, money, and effort to figure out how we can help him sleep. And the reality is, we're pretty much just resigned to the fact that this is how it's going to be until we put the Air Doctor Pro in his room. And I am not joking when I tell you the first night that we put it in his room, he slept through the night. The second night, slept through the night. Now we're up to 35 plus days that he has slept through the night. He has only woken up two times rather than two, three times a night, two times in the last 35 days and counting. And we are just so incredibly grateful. The reality is, we had a feeling that it was something that we were missing. And the indoor air that we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air these days. In some cases, up to 100 times more. We spend 90% of our time indoors and we take 20,000 breaths a day. So what's the solution? An air purifier, a cut above the rest. I'm not going to lie. We have tried others. We've tried other HEPA filters. We've tried other air filters. We have spent the money and they have not done the results that Air Doctor did in literally the first day that we put it in his room. They filter out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. That includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. So I don't know what it was that was keeping them up, but it is now gone. So Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com, use promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off air purifiers, an exclusive listener offer for you as well. You'll receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. That's exclusive to you, the podcast listener, now hearing this in real time. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code FASTINGFORLIFE. You guys know that we are very particular with who we partner with. And if it wasn't for this incredible company and this, the incredible results that we've seen, I would not be encouraging you to head to the website and take advantage of the Fasting for Life promo code. So if you support our sponsors, you are ultimately supporting us. We are grateful for you listening in. And now back to today's episode.
Yeah, you know, because if you're on a normal, like, 3 times a day eating schedule, let alone 4 or 5 or even 6 times per day, depending on what your goals are or whose advice you're following. I know I followed advice like that for a long time. It didn't get me anywhere. It actually took me backwards. But that can be really different and a big point of conflict for someone who's living a fasting and insulin controlled lifestyle. But you know, for our listener here, with this question, when you understand what your own goals are, and then you communicate them to your spouse, think of the connection points. Like that next special dinner experience is going to be really cool when you can let all of your frustration go and you can actually look forward to the next one. Your boyfriend or spouse is going to be looking forward to it as well, because they know you're more excited about it. And you guys can come together, have a deeper connection over that shared experience. And then that's when potentially a spouse's defenses come down as well, where they can start to see how this can work with the things that are important to them. And you said he wasn't fat, he's 40 pounds overweight. So maybe he's not in control of his own insulin levels right now. So maybe he starts to see how this works for you. And then he goes, yeah, you know what? Hold on. What did you just do? You set a timer for 30 hours. Okay, let me go ahead and do that too. I'll meet you back here for breakfast or for dinner, you know, a day or two from now. And that's going to be a really cool thing. Another set of shared experiences right there. We see that all the time.
So three things. I want to put a disclaimer in here. We are not marriage counseling experts. Okay. Yeah, so just right. Like when we say this is not medical advice, okay, this is right. You can't get what you don't have. So we're just speaking from experience. Sure. Of what we've done, you know, what I've done in my own life, right? I should say I don't speak for you. Okay.
No. Me too. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So just getting that out there, right? And then this reminds me of a situation when I was back in grad school, and I had a friend who was making some pretty big lifestyle changes. You know, used to be a Division II football, an athlete, been with his wife since they were really, really young. Had transitioned into, you know, the workforce, then back to school. Mm-hmm. And we started learning about nutrition and physiology and all this stuff. And he made some pretty big lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. So this is the second thing. I said three things, right? So make sure I land the plane here, Tommy. And I remember when he went home with his plan and told his wife, hey, this is when we're living in tiny, small apartments, like walking to class for however many 40 credit hours a week, right? Like staying up night, cramming for physiology exams and biochemistry exams, right? And he goes home and he's like, yeah, this is my new plan. I'm going absolutely sugar-free, low carb, cutting out all refined processed foods. And I'm like, he just went complete overhaul.
Overhaul, yeah.
Like, and his wife, I know her well. I know what she said, and I cannot say it here. And over the course of it took about 6 months for his results and his improvements to become, to bring clarity to the relationship and the situation. Mm. And now she and him are completely on board in the same boat.
Yeah.
She does her own thing. He does his own thing, but they have this alignment, right? And we've seen this from other people that have reached out and said, hey, my husband, this is my favorite one. Because typically, you know, what we see when we do the challenges, it's about 60, sometimes 70% women who come into the challenges. Right. And then with our listenership, it's now like what is it? It's like
a 60-40
60-40 split. Right. Yeah. Same thing when I was in practice. And it's interesting because we'll get these messages where, you know, somebody will do a challenge. They'll join the continuity group. We don't hear from them. They hit maintenance. They're having great success. Mm-hmm. And then they pop up, right? Like little meerkat, right? And they look around and they're like, hey, I'm here. I'm back. It's time for me to do a longer fast. I've been doing great, whatever. But the coolest ones are, I was like, hey, my husband did the challenge with me. And now we're down total together. We're down 80 pounds.
Right.
He's lost 30. Awesome. I've lost 50. We're down 110 pounds. He's no longer a diabetic. I'm like, I didn't even know he existed.
Right.
Because we didn't even know he was doing the challenge with you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, you know, I'm resistant to change. You know, my wife knows that. Don't change the schedule on me when we've agreed on the schedule. So I've just seen that develop over time. And that's one of the coolest things. So the third thing is when we get to hear these marriage merge experiences. So just lending some perspective, Tommy, as we wrap up today's episode, some action steps for the listeners. If this is a situation that they've had, this doesn't have to be husband and wife. This can be friend. This can be coworker at lunch. Hey, you go get lunch every day. Okay. Well, lunch typically is a fast paced, quick, convenient type meal.
Sure.
And you're doing it every day. Maybe you work in a healthcare office and you guys go to you pick a place. One day it's Chinese food. The next day it's Chick-fil-A. The next day it's insert whatever. Right. Next day it's sandwiches. It's pizza. Well, yes, there's going to be some, hey, I, you know what? I'm just doing lunches Tuesday and Thursday this week.
Yeah.
So this applies to every relationship when it comes to fasting. So we're actually telling you to break the rule, the two rules of fasting for life. Don't talk about fasting and don't talk about fasting. So a couple of action steps here, Tommy, for everyone as we wrap up today.
Yeah, talk a little bit about fasting, right? But only in the important realms with the important people who are with you like on a day-to-day basis, you know. They're in your circle, they're in your household. Explain to them or express the things that are important to you. So first step is going to be to get started, like have a plan for yourself and get started. So if you don't have one yet, go download the Fast Start Guide, thefastingforlife.com, get the Fast Start Guide and have a plan to get started. Then just write down one or two, maybe maximum three of your most important priorities. Like what are they? Where do you think you're going to run into a little bit of tension, maybe in your household or with your coworkers, and just express those to those few most important people to you. And if you're new to fasting, you might just say, yeah, I know it sounds a little bit different, but I'm just going to try this for a week or two. Okay. So just bear with me for a minute here and I'm going to see how it goes. If I like it, then we'll talk, but just allay some fears. This isn't a long-term thing. Just relax, guys. Okay. It's just a temporary.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Well said.
Yeah.
If you're new to the podcast, like we said, appreciate you listening. For all of our long-term listeners, thank you all so much. Coming up on a pretty cool milestone here in the near future. So we'll share that with you. And we do appreciate reviews. So as Facebook is adding podcasts and Spotify is upping their content management, and as we're blasting this off across the airwaves, across all of the countries that you guys hear our voices in, we're very appreciative. We thank you very much for listening, but we do appreciate 5-star reviews. That tells us, well, we appreciate all reviews, good and bad. We listen. I promise we read them all the messages that come in. We read them all.
Yep.
But go ahead and leave a review, because that really gives us or tells the people that run this stuff and all of the technology behind the scenes that we're doing something good. And then we're going to continue to put these episodes out weekly and hopefully continue to deliver value. So, Tommy, thank you, sir, for today's conversation. I enjoyed it. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com. And sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start Guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.